maybe more devotees will come. Maybe we should all move a little bit. Is it all right, Lemo, if I move this sacred table? Govindanandan, would you mind to bring a glass? I should ask Lemo, do we have a nice glass? No water, empty glass. Yeah, I have something. Ah, Krishna.
My kombucha. Kombucha, Bodhidharma.
So tamasish. It's something. Kombucha. Do.
It lives.
You know, it's a living entity.
It's all right. No problem.
It's all right. It's.
Thank you. Finally, we have a good kombucha glass.
There's a blues song. If I'm thirsty, give me champagne. It's a blues song. It's not really spiritual. This should not appear on the table, on the Sharanagati table, ministry. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
Prabhu Nityananda.
Prabhu Nityananda.
Sri Advaita Gadadhara.
Sri Advaita Gadadhara.
Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya.
Krishna Prestaya Bhutale.
Krishna Prestaya Bhutale.
Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta.
Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta.
Swami Niti Namine.
Swami Niti Namine.
Namaste Saraswati Devi.
Namaste Saraswati Devi.
Gauravani Pracharine.
Gauravani Pracharine.
Nirvishesha Shunyavadi.
Nirvishesha Shunyavadi.
Paskatya de Shatarine.
Paskatya de Shatarine.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
Prabhu Nityananda.
Prabhu Nityananda.
Sri
Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktavinda
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna Hare
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama
Hare Rama Hare Rama
Rama Rama Hare Hare
Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna Hare
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama
Hare Rama Hare Rama
Rama Rama Hare Hare
Rama Rama Hare Hare
As you all know, very soon the sacred appearance day of Gauranga Mahaprabhu comes. We celebrated in Zagreb on Tuesday, and I will personally give a seminar which prepares devotees for that appearance day in Ljubljana on Saturday and Sunday. This divine appearance day of Gauranga Mahaprabhu is a day on which spiritual people all over the world prepare themselves, because they know that by the strength of Gauranga Mahaprabhu they can awaken to a new life. There are many lilas or pastimes where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has proven to his devotees that he is actually capable of reviving even dead people to a normal life. What then to speak of people who, like us, are spiritually still sleeping? We are not dead, but we are a little bit sleeping and dreaming still. Also, we can be awoken to life. There's a very nice pastime concerning the son of Advaita Acharya. His name is Gopal. Gopal was a very lively young boy, and once his parents, Sita Devi and Advaita Thakur, took him to a yearly pilgrimage to Jagannath Puri. And there, in Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had these ecstatic dances which would sometimes go on for a whole day and a whole night. I was dancing once in Jagannath Puri on the same road which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken for the procession, Ratha Yatra procession, where he and his associates had danced. It's called the Grand Road. And we were dancing for 6 or 8 hours non-stop. During this time, devotees told me I drank 20 liters of water. I don't know where the water went, but it didn't go out the conventional way. It was just sweated out, I think. As we have spoken earlier, when you go into a space where once an ecstatic event took place, the event is still there in the air and still influences you. I think we all know when we go into a room where a murder has taken place, as an example, then that bad, violent, criminal atmosphere covers our heart like a dark shadow, and we become disturbed, especially when we have to sleep in such a room or But if we are in a space, a sacred space, where Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has danced for 8 hours, then we start to feel that the light covers our soul. The light of Lord Chaitanya's dancing, and we dance also very easily for 6 to 7 or to 8 hours. Anyways, Gopal, the son of Advaitacharya, came to this Ratha Yatra festival, and he danced all this time. And when the devotees reached the Nrisimha temple, he fell down dead into the dust. It was too much dancing for. Advaitacharya went to him and called into his ear, "Gopal, Gopal, wake up." No reaction. Mother Sita came and also tried to bring her little boy back to life. No reaction. Finally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was informed. What did he do? He took Gopal in his arms, started to dance, and then said, "Gopal, now don't sleep any longer." And he put Gopal in the dust, and Gopal jumped up from the dust and chanted, "Hari, Hari, Hari, Hari." This Lord Nityananda at that time looked at his brother and said, "You can give life to the dead. I have seen this many times." And he reminded the devotees of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had saved and gotten back the dead son of Srivas Thakur when he was dancing in the court of Srivasangam. So, yes, then Nityananda rubbed the dust from the body of Gopal and rubbed it all over the devotees. He's always extremely ecstatic. Saying this, "Andrea, I request you to just open the window for a little while, because some devotees have worked very hard today, and brother sleep is trying to kill them, and this should not happen in a lecture which is about awakening people to spiritual life." So, Madhavananda, welcome. Yeah. Yeah. Just to full punasnaga for some time, yes. So, Nityananda then asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Just like this boy Gopal has died, there are so many souls in this world who are spiritually dead. Please enliven them also." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the blessing that yes, he would do so. He would awaken those who are sleeping on the lap of Maya and who are spiritually dead. He would awaken them by the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So, what does it mean to be spiritually alive? I would like to bring to your attention a message which I have repeated often in my little class, on my balcony tours. I had requested the devotees to see their life like a lifeline. Here's birth and here's death. Let us say a life in Kali Yuga takes 100 years. Then some of us are here, these are the young boys and girls, some are here, I'm already here because I'm 55. This is our life.
Now let us say that an average devotee who listens to this class this evening is here, not yet at the middle of his life, and he is living his life. What will he see of his life? He will see of his life the things which lie directly before his eyes, which are a little in the future, like Govinda Nandan might maybe see that he has to visit a customer tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. Lemo might think about his two unfinished theater plays, which are the production. By the way, Lemo, I heard from Sundarananda about your theater plays, and I have to almost control my senses not to come to the next your theater plays. Soon I want to see every one of them live. Or our Revoye, who is writing a very difficult doctoral thesis, would think about maybe the new book, the new interviews he has to do, the new book you have to read, and so on and so forth. We always see the things which lie ahead of us. Ivo might think about a new telephone contract with Siberia, where the Eskimos have no Ericsson telephones. What a scandal. And Madhavananda might think about the new the Croatian manager from Zagreb who has a back pain and who needs a massage, you know. We all would think about these things, which Lao Tse calls the 1001 small things. They are not so important. They are small things. Listen why he calls them small things. In wisdom literature and in spiritual circles, it is known that when you have this perspective into the future of your life, you usually tend to see first the small things which you feel you have to get out of the way to one day hopefully come to the big things in your life. Ali. In spiritual circles, Prabhupada always said, see your death right in front of your eyes. In other words, go here, where my finger is, to the end of your life, and then look back into your life. And when you look from that perspective, when you look back in retrospect, when you look, there's only one question in you. Have I used my opportunities? Have I loved? Have I given enough to God? Have I surrendered to the Lord? The big things all of a sudden are moving into your perspective. The small things like your shopping list, which you have to do to fulfill tomorrow, the vegetables and the freezer ski, all these things, they are disappearing. They are evaporating. You only see the big things in your life. Have I become Krishna consciousness, Amrita Geli? Have I used my time for chanting? Have I worshipped? These are the questions, the ultimate questions. The ultimate questions are difficult to discover when you come, when you look into the future of your next day or the next month. But the ultimate things are very easy to discover when you run to the end of your life and look back into your life and see the opportunities which were there, which were either used or not used or even abused. For instance, people think, I was in a relationship. I could have been a little bit more tolerant. But what was I? I was so selfish and I created so much hurt for the other person. But while they were in the relationship, while they lived day to day in the relationship, they only saw the mistakes which the other made and the unfulfilled expectations they had in the person. My dear devotees, if you want to see the big things in your life and have the energy to take on the big things in your life, go to the end of your life. Turn around and look back. And what will you see? Opportunities. The great opportunity to use the human form of life for Krishna consciousness. It's an interesting point, isn't it, Gomarava? I see you are starting to think already about it. In India, I have one friend. His name is Divya Singh Maharaj. He's the king of Puri. He once invited me in his palace. And in the morning, I saw a strange thing which I never forget. He was lying on a stretcher. Stretcher, you know what is a stretcher? It's where wounded people come. How do we say stretcher, Bhanu? Nandini? Yes. Nosik? Nosilka. He was lying on a nosilka. He was actually carried like this on the nosilka. He was covered with white. There was musicians who played some sad music. Really sad music. His servants were there crying, and I thought, my God, I was chanting in my room, and I went out, there was so much crying and noise. My God, the Maharaj has died overnight. Then I followed the procession just out of inquisitiveness, and then in the other room, he got up from the nosilka. He got up from the nosilka, and he told everyone to do their services. So in the morning when we ate Jagannath Mahaprasad, I asked him, what was that? He said, you know, my Guru Maharaj said I should keep death in front of my eyes. And I do this every day. I go on the nosilka and I'm pretending to be dead. There's music and so on. And then when I wake up, I can live my life as if I can see the opportunity to do something great in my life. And he's a king. One of the last kings. He's good. Very, very interesting. I don't suggest that you do this also. every day we carry Sundarananda and the Nosilka. No need. But I think it's an interesting, you know, there are still some interesting people in this world. It's an interesting habit. When you want to live your life to the fullest, you have to learn to avoid the influence of the material nature, which slows you down and binds you on the bodily platform. And today, I would like to tell you a story about this, which I intend to write. It lives somehow in my fantasy since a few days. And I have promised this story to Gokulendra. Gokulendra is there. I said, you must come today to hear this. My story is a little drama. It has... it plays in the West. There is one boy, his name is Florian, it means something like the one with flowers. He has a friend called Dorian, and there is a wise person with them from India who is something like the teacher. So this story, the intention of this story is to show you that wherever you give your attention to,
You give life to that very thing. That thing which you are attentive to, all of a sudden gets life. Almost like we have heard in literature, there was this Victor Frankenstein who wanted to create life on its own. And he took parts from the dead houses, built a human-like being together, and then put a blitzer into him, and then this being came to life. And Victor with one question, "Love me, please." But Victor Frankenstein, the creature, thought his being was ugly, and he rejected the being. So later, this unfortunate being became very disturbed in his mind and was a danger for the common people. That's the novel. So in this novel, much like a lot of European literature, you find wherever you give your attention to, that takes a life of its own. So here is the story for you. It's a very allegorical story. You need to listen very carefully to capture the points. But if you do, you will be amazed. Already for 4 long months, Florian was traveling through Europe. He was accompanied by a person from India who was for the first time in Europe. His name was Mohan, and his old school friend Dorian. When Florian came to Italy on the journey with his two friends and accompanied, he took a guest house for the night where he rested. In the evening, Mohan told the two young boys a story. He said, "Once there was a young man who fell madly in love with a beautiful and saintly girl. Every day he would visit that girl, and after a week or so, he said to the girl, 'Will you marry me?' The girl said, 'I'm already married. My soul is married to God, and my body doesn't want to marry.'" The young man couldn't make sense of what he heard the girl telling him, and he was very insistent that this beautiful young saintly girl had no protector, no means of income. She lived alone in a hut near the border of the forest. She should marry him who had so much money and who was so strong and who was so influential. Finally, the girl relented and said to him, "Come back after 1 week, then I will give you my yes." After 1 week, the rich man came to the house of his angebetete, the person whom he loved, the young girl. And as he knocked on the door, a very ugly looking old lady opened the door. When she opened her mouth, there was a foul smell in the air. The young man was shocked. "Where is the beauty?" The old woman answered, "Standing before you." "No, I mean the beauty. That girl who had cheeks like red apples and lips like cherries." "That beauty," said the old lady. "That's in the bedroom." Yes, very good location for my intention. Can I see her? Can I see the beauty?" "Yes," said the old lady, "come with me." Mohan was smiling at his two Western listeners because he knew they would be totally shocked in a few minutes. And then asked Florian. Doria went, ah, when the action comes, I know it. So, wait, said Mohan. So the old lady brought the young man into the bedroom, and there were 5 big buckets full of the most aggressively smelling substances. There was stool and vomit. Hare Krishna, let us drink. What's that, Dorian? Now listen to him, said Florian. Stool and vomit, yes. And then the lady explained, these are the ingredients of my beauty. For 1 week I took strong laxatives. Laxatives? And I conserved all what was inside in me, what was in my behind, what was in my chest, what was in my cheeks. I conserved all of this for you. Now take the buckets home and enjoy. Hare Krishna. Mohan looked at his two shocked Western listeners. My story, Mohan said, is named liquid beauty. Material beauty. Not real beauty. Illusory beauty. For which the whole world is crazy because... And Mohan looked at Dorian and Florian. Because... You are so much overwhelmed by Maya. And then Mohan said, Florian, tonight you will see something. Then he said, Dorian, tomorrow you will die.
What, we just went on a Europe journey? Who are you to tell us such stories? It's springtime. Our senses are awakening to life. Why do you always with your philosophical Indian nonsense disturb our view?
Our friendship is ended here, said Florian. You go your way, we will go our ways. Mohan said, Vedamase. He said goodbye. Continue to travel alone. Now, what happened in the night to Florian? Florian could not really rest. He was very disturbed by what he had heard. It sounded so absolutely anti-romantic. He therefore could not sleep. In the night, it was maybe 12 o'clock, he went out of the guest house. There was a full moon. And he walked through the nice Italian summer night. There were sounds like grilling, you know. They were making their sounds. And he was walking and he was singing songs of his youth. He wanted to forget the message of Mohan, to be not attracted to material beauty but to spiritual beauty. Then he came upon a little pond. And there on the pond he saw a marble statue of Venus. Venus, the Greek or Roman goddess of love. And he looked at Venus, at her marble beauty. All of a sudden, he noticed how the eyes of Venus
came to life. There was a sparkle in the eyes.
You know, like a living person has a consciousness in the eyes.
The eyes were becoming more and more alive. And Venus seemed to say, come, 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 come to me. Florian was attracted on one side by the beauty, but shocked. How is it that dead matter, marble, is living? Then he looked in the pond. All of a sudden he saw sphinxes.
Sphinx? You know, these nymphs. You know, they're half, they're very beautiful, half woman, half fish. They were swimming. And they all said, go, go to our mistress whom we serve, go to Venus.
Florian turned around and ran back to the guest house. When he passed by the room of Dorian, he heard loud noise and screaming in the room. Probably Dorian had invited a girl for 100 euros into his room. A girl for a night. Florian couldn't sleep all night. When he woke up, he felt as if he had boxed the whole night with some enemy. But the picture of Venus was engraved in his heart. I must find this woman. I must find the answer. I must uncover the mystery. So he, next day, he went through the beautiful landscape, and he came to something which looked like a beautiful park behind stone walls. He opened the door to the park and went through the park. It was a beautiful Roman park, I should say, with nicely cut grass, nice, please help me, are they called allées? Nice allées and interesting marble statues. There was, in the distance, before a castle, a whole row of marble statues, 20 in a row, and he saw that the 17th was missing. He walked a little bit more into the park, and there, dressed in black, he saw his friend Florian. Florian was on the lawn, on the grass, lifeless. Dorian went to Florian and said, Florian, Florian, Florian. And he tried to breathe life into Florian through the mouth. Slowly Florian came back to life, but looked at him so absolutely frightened and shocked and fell back into coma. This moment, he saw between the allées a beautiful woman walking. The woman had a white skin and also a white dress, but a golden, and she was having an instrument and she was singing. She sang this song, every spring I come to life, because every spring I take the life. I take the life of all those fools who are finding beauty in matter alone. And again she sang, ling, 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 every spring I come to life. I come to life because I take the life. I take the life of all those fools who find beauty in matter alone. And again she sang the song, "Every spring I come to life, because I take the life, I take the life of all those fools who find beauty alone and matter." Then for a moment the woman looked into Florian's eyes. First Florian only saw the marble eyes of the woman, but as she appreciated her marmoric beauty, the lives of that woman became alive, this life. Could take his eyes away, turned the other way, went to Florian. He took Florian on his shoulders and went out of that garden to the guest house. And as they made distance to the garden, Florian came back to life again. Hare Krishna, should I continue? Or is it too intense? It's a very intense. I think I leave you with the first chapter, because that's all I have seen up till now. The story is a very simple story. It shows that by the influence of Maya, we become attracted to physical, to material beauty, and forget the soul, and forget Krishna. And as we do this, we become identified with the material scene, which begins with the material life, which begins to take all our life away from us. The life which is actually meant to be used in Krishna consciousness for worship of Krishna. The life which is meant to prepare us for our eternal life. This was the first chapter which you heard, the second chapter and third chapter you will have to read if you are interested. In the third chapter you will find that the two, Florian and Dorian, had entered into an area where the goddess Venus was worshipped in previous times. There were old legends that every night in spring, at a full moon night, she would come to life if there were people who were giving her life, which were giving her attention, and which were developing those venusic feelings of material lust. In the last chapter, Mohan appears again. Venus is lying on the same sofa which Lemo has. This is a Roman type of sofa. Actually, no, it's not a fully Roman type of sofa. This is more Hungarian type of, and the Roman would have this a little bit, I believe, more down, isn't it? There was one side high. She's lying like this, and Florian comes and is magically attracted to her to embrace her. But just at that moment, Mohan passes by the castle of Venus, and Mohan the Guru is chanting some mantras, and Venus becomes disturbed and says, "Come back tomorrow. This is not the right atmosphere." And then Florian goes out, meets Mohan, and Mohan explains to him everything, what happened to him. Now, this is a little bit like the storyline of it, but I want to write it, you know. When I was driving from Sarajevo to Belgrade, then I was all of a sudden thinking about this, that I want to write this like a story, and I want to be very I want to try to write something in my own ways. My dear devotees, what I wish to leave you as an idea
with today is that all of us have a unique opportunity to awaken to eternal life. We have to give this opportunity our full attention, and by giving this opportunity our attention, it's this opportunity which will come to life. Anything in this world needs attention in order to come to life. The world is a world of potentials, and wherever you are pouring the water of your attention, there these potentials will grow like a rose flower, which begins to grow from a seed into a flower when you give water to its roots. So this Krishna consciousness philosophy and movement is, I feel, such a wonderful opportunity, because helps us to direct our attention to eternal beauty, to the kingdom of the Lord. Look at this scene which you see there, in this beautiful golden frame. If you give attention to this scene, then the scene will come alive to you. Then one day you will lie in the arms of Krishna, who will embrace you and welcome you back into the kingdom of God. Everything is like this in this world. There are many, many frames in this world with many scenes. It is up to us to choose the right frame which we want, and give that frame of life our full attention. Attention is that force of the consciousness. It's the living force of the consciousness which can make a reality. Matter is shaped always after consciousness. Consciousness was necessary to make this table and this sofa. Consciousness was necessary to make your body and your life. So it is the attention is the channel, really, through which consciousness, life-giving consciousness, flows into what you want to become your reality. And I very much appreciate the way the Zagreb temple came about. The Zagreb temple was a lifeless, unfinished skeleton for many years. I remember this one winter morning where Ripuha and Sundarananda and myself went there, and it really looked like a house which would never be finished. And then we sat down and we talked and we said, do we want this to become a temple for Krishna in Zagreb? And the three of us agreed we needed such a temple, although at that time the movement for Krishna consciousness was really only a congregational movement. And we put our consciousness into the building, and now all of a sudden it's a building with a facade. That's not normal for Croatia, a building with a facade. At least at that time it was not normal. It's really consciousness, and it's not money. Money is a dead thing. It's consciousness. I really feel that this point could be sufficiently understood by you, you would give your life a wonderful meaning. You would take the channel of your attention, focus your consciousness into the way, and it would flow. Now, my dear devotees, you can only concentrate on spiritual things if you are in a spiritual association. Florian and Dorian were in the association of Venus, and Dorian immediately was dead, and Florian was on the way to become dead. Mohan saved him in the last minute, in the last scene, where the marble statue almost got him. You can only, when you have good spiritual association, put your consciousness, the laser beam of your consciousness, on spiritual goals. Therefore, the most desired, let me say, benefit for a devotee in Krishna consciousness has always been, will always be, and is always the association of strong devotees. Because in that association, our consciousness is turning away from matter, where it gives life to material projects, and it is redirected, it is directed to spiritual, how do you say, spiritual goals. At the moment, I'm reading a book of Teresa of Avila. I was inspired by Lemo's previous friend to read that book. It's called The Inner Castle. And Teresa of Avila says, I imagine the soul to be like a castle with many, many, many rooms. It's a castle made of crystal. The first rooms, or the first, she says, apartments, is like this, and then she says the second apartment is like this, and then the third is like this, and in the seventh apartment lives God. And she says, when you want to go to the seventh apartment, you first have to start with the first apartment. The first apartment is when you enter your inner life, you enter through the gate of, she doesn't say kirtan, she says meditation and prayer. And then when you enter that first apartment, you must be careful because so many things of the world come along with you. Isn't it? When we start our spiritual life, we have so many mixed emotions. Huh? Some are spiritual, some are still material. So she says, some material people come with us in the first apartment. That's in our scriptures. It's, you know, we say with you have still so many anattas, you know. Then you go through the different apartments and finally the door opens from inside. That's what I say, but I'm reading at the about the fourth apartment, so I don't know about the seventh apartment, but I'm making my own story. So when you come to the seventh apartment, the door opens from the inside, and God invites you to come in. That's about the idea. So this is the adventure of real life, to go out of the world of marble and enter the world of the crystal, to go out of the world of matter, to enter the world of the soul, the transparent soul. Marble is not transparent, but glass is, or crystal is, and there find in the innermost chamber of the heart the Lord who lives there with the soul. It's an adventure. And as you could see from my little story, I didn't want to tell you the whole story because you must read the book. It's a whole book. The first, when you start your spiritual life, there will be many mixed emotions. There will be many things still with you, which is natural and which is alright. We are just entering. But ultimately we can come to meet the Lord of our heart. And that's the most wonderful, the most important meeting for which many people have given up the dead world of matter, the liquid beauty of this world. And it's only possible to go this way when you have strong association. Really, you need strong association. What do you think, Philip? Strong association which helps, and kind association, where we are helped to detach ourselves from the magical attractive force of Maya. Hare Krishna. It's my little story. I would have loved to tell you the story to the end, but there is a scene inside which is not good for brahmacharis and for brahmacharinis, and therefore I could not tell you the story. You have to read it privately or jump over that chapter. I so much want people to understand Krishna consciousness, and therefore I'm beginning to think how to present it in new ways. Not new ways, but in very obvious and clear ways. So, Hare Krishna. Please don't forget, if you forget everything about the lecture, don't forget this here. This is your life. You are somewhere here. Please sometimes move forward. And see and turn back and ask yourself the question, have I used the life? I can tell you, when I was in that hospital bed, and when I was in that night, the night of terror, where I had to fight for my life, and I looked back and I saw myself in India, I saw myself in many situations, and then I could see I have not fully used the opportunities, and it made me sad, so sad. Now I have a second chance. Krishna, want to use it. Do you have any questions? Govindanandan, do you allow me to please put my medicinal drink? The last bottle, when I finish this, no more kombucha. Well, yeah, but can we see, maybe there's a question first which is related, and then when there's no question, like I assume, then we can go to your... Madhupati and Panu Nandini, have I seen your finger? Yes.
Sometimes we might look back or might see what we did and look a little back and see and could even see what we have to improve, but still we cannot improve. It's still holding us. So how to solve this?
We feel we cannot improve on our own. Today I said to Gaurahari, alone we cannot, we are nowhere. But if we use the wings of Shravanam and Kirtanam, we can go everywhere. In other words, if you take to a strong spiritual practice of hearing about Krishna and chanting about Krishna, then Krishna can bring you everywhere. I'm so much convinced. I read this today in the Bhagavatam, where Prabhupada says that the super soul sees, if a devotee wants to sincerely know more about him, and if he does, it's the super soul who shows the devotees his next step. I have always prayed since a long time, please Krishna, show me my next step, where I should go. See, Madhupati, alone you cannot change, but if Krishna helps you, you can change. And this help of Krishna is really given to a devotee who becomes interested to hear more about him. Krishna really looks on that. He really wants to know, are you turning your attention to him? And the sign that someone turns the attention to Krishna is always that you want to know more about Krishna. In this world, when you become interested in another person, you want to know about him. You want to read the books he has written, maybe, or you want to visit lectures which he gives, or tapes, or anything which you can get from him, to know more about him. So your attention turns to, especially to Krishna, when you want to know more about Krishna. That means you hear more about Krishna and you repeat what you hear to others. Then Krishna sees he finally becomes interested in me. And that's why I said, then Krishna gives you wings to fly. Then you can change something, not by your own strengths, Madhupati, but because Krishna in your heart becomes sympathetic to your cause. Really, I'm reading the Bhagavatam now, almost every day. Mm-hmm. And I'm really going through it with great inner benefit. And I'm surprised how often, really, the process to come to Krishna consciousness is to hear more about Krishna and to chant about him. That seems to be the most prominent path in bhakti. For instance, I have read this morning about Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj is praying to Krishna that, my dear Lord, I was a great fool. I worshipped you to get a kingdom greater than the kingdom of my grandfather. Now I have seen that this is nishta, this is nothing, this is not important to get such a kingdom. I feel very, very embarrassed before you. Now I'm only interested to cross the ocean of illusion in which I was. But he says, it will be easy. Because slowly, he says, slowly I'm becoming mad, oops, to hear about you and to chant your glories. I'm reading this. It's a continuous subject. If you become interested in Krishna by hearing and chanting, then Krishna himself in the heart becomes active by taking away those things which are an obstacle on your path. And we all know that. When we have a good time of Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, we feel enlivened. And we have a different perspective. And with that different perspective, we can solve things which seem to be unsolvable. And Madhupati, it's not important that you develop a castle. For your success, maybe in other areas, you know, I think a great mistake which we often do is we compare ourselves with others. But each one has his own capacity in which he can excel, and that is his perfection. So, but you will only be able to reach out to your capacity and do in your capacity with the help of Krishna, who removes the obstacles in your heart as soon as he sees that you become attracted to him and give your attention to him. Our problem is our attention is split in so many directions. We have to take it, laser method, and bundle it to Krishna by hearing and chanting Gomarava. That's the secret.
Vanunandini. I have a little foolish question. When you were speaking about this example, and then I
I have a feeling that whatever I give, whatever I try, and for instance today I give more than I did yesterday because I put this perspective, but then the next day when I again take this perspective, I don't be satisfied. You know what I mean? I mean, how I can give as much as I give and then take a look back, I will never be, it will always look like I haven't used my chance really, or...
It's a nice question. It's a very good question. Yes, if you look like that, you will always remain dissatisfied. I could have done more. Yesterday I did less than today, but you know, and by this you would actually kill yourself. You would always try to do more. No, this idea is more to identify the big things in your life, the big stones. I would like to give you an example which I have often given in the past. It's about the first things first, really. There was one Swami with us. He has left his body. Unfortunately, he was Sridhar Swami. And he once gave a lecture and he placed something like an aquarium before us, and he said, "This is your life." He didn't take this. He took a whole aquarium. This is your life. We want to fill it now. What he did is, one moment. Yes, he first put some big stones in. Then he said, until it was full. Is the aquarium full? Then we all, then everyone said, yes. I didn't say anything because I say always the wrong thing. I'm so foolish for these things. Then he smiled and then he took some small stones and went like, and put the aquarium full. And then, is the aquarium now full? Everyone said, yeah, now it's full. Then he smiled and took a bucket of sand. We went like, the sand was now covering everything. A whole bucket was still filling in. And then he asked, is the aquarium now full? And everyone in one voice shouted, no, without knowing what would come next. Sand, what is more subtle than sand? Then he put a bucket with water inside. And then he asked us, what is the point? And I didn't say anything because I always say the wrong thing. So someone said something, my neighbor said, well, the thing is, you can, if that was your life, that means you can always do something a little bit more, a little bit better. You know, there's always something which you have not yet thought about, which still fits into the life. And then he said, who else thinks like this? And I wanted to say, I think like this, because I really thought this was the point, but I better didn't do it, because I always say the wrong thing. And then everyone else went up, and I really wanted to also go up, yeah. But I know I always say the wrong thing. And then he said, what do you think, Sachinanda Swami? I don't know, I always think the wrong thing, I better not say anything. And then he said, exactly, that is not the point, what you know, that you can always put something more. And I was, good that I didn't say anything. I know I always say the wrong thing. Exactly, that is not the point. This is how the whole Western civilization kills itself. They always do something more. They think, this can be still done. I still have a little bit, 5 minutes here for bodily exercise and 2 minutes here for reading something to get a little bit more intelligent, you know. And then I can do a little bit garden work here, you know. And so on, you know. And then I... write this letter, you know, and there's always something, and then at the end no one can sleep any longer from all that stress which they have. Then he said, the point is, if I would not have put in the big things, the big stones first, I would never have had any space. If I would have done the little, for instance, the little stones or the sand, it would cover, would fill the atmosphere, the aquarium of life, the small things. Then I would have not been able to put the big things in. So when I'm telling that we should develop the right perspective to take our opportunities, I speak of the big stones, the big things. I'm not speaking of the 1,001 little things which we always are busy with every day, and which we think if I get them out of the way, then I will live and be happy. You know, you have to identify what are your big things. Big thing, for instance, is to become a purified soul. Big thing is to develop your unique mission in life for which you have come here and for which you are born. Big thing is to become a servant and so on. These are the big things. And if you concentrate on these big stones, on these big projects, then the small things, there will be place in your life for the small things, to do your shopping, for the new toothbrush and the new toothpaste, you know, and to do the thousand small things which need to be taken care of. But if you only take care of the small stones, the small things in your life, you will not be able to fulfill your big things. The material life with these thousands of small things will just steal your attention and come to life, and you will live a small time life with worries and anxieties and all of that. This is actually the reason why we do sadhana. Sadhana in the beginning we do in a forced way, Amrita Keli, not just when we like them or like to do it or not like to do it, because we have to take first care of the big things in our life. And because we are so material still, we have to force ourselves with vows and initiation vows and all of this. 16 rounds, no matter what. 4 regulative principles, even if I don't like, you know, because this helps us to develop our the big things in life. If we wouldn't do that, we would never have time for 16 rounds. Never. Wouldn't happen. There will be always these small things, and then the computer, oh, my emails, then I have to do the shopping, my work, my projects, you know, all the small little things would just overwhelm us. The aquarium of life, the life would be full with sand and little stones and not the big stones. Hare Krishna. Madhavananda, I wanted to visit you tomorrow, if possible, during the day, because in the evening I have another time, so we can take your question then, maybe. I wanted to just Govinda Nandan had a question, and I see Tadgata, then we will finish.
I wanted to ask, you spoke about you mentioned this example with Teresa of Avila, and
with what, please?
With this castle. There are so many different things that can help us to work on our inner life. How much attention is it good to give to these alternative methods that can help us?
how to integrate them with our spiritual practices, which are given in our tradition.
To what degree? Yes. I believe they have a value. If there's something for physical well-being, like I do, I'm so happy now after so many years. The benefit of my yoga exercise comes. I'm doing really. Sasha, tomorrow I want to show you that my Surya Namaskar. You will fly when you see this. This is so good. It combines breathing and the attention. It's called drishti and movement and everything. And now I could fly out of the window. I mean, I can't guarantee where I would land, but it's really so good. You know, for physical, we need some physical well-being. Some emotional well-being. There are things which work. Maybe like I know that our Bir Krishna Maharaj has this very nice emphatic communication. It's a very nice way of, you know, because we, yeah, of living actually, isn't it? It's not just communication. I think it's of living. Excuse me.
Yeah, it's a way of living.
It's a way of living. It's very useful, apparently. No, not apparently. It really, when you learns it, and you should just and other things, social well-being. Yeah. But you know, when you have it, when it's taken care of, then I wouldn't just stay on these platforms, but go to practice Krishna consciousness, the soul level. It's so interesting. We are multi-leveled beings, isn't it? And I sometimes say in my lectures that you can imagine we live on different. We are living in a house with different levels. There's the cellar, that's the physical level. Then is the emotional level, that's the ground floor. Then is the intellectual level, that's the second floor, and then there is the soul level. And I'm saying to my audiences, the new people, it's so sad that many of you only live in the cellar. There are so many nice rooms to discover, especially the upper penthouse with nice light and fill the area of the soul, you know. But obviously we need to develop, you know, when you are in a house, Tathagata, you have to take care of all the levels in the house, because otherwise maybe, I don't know, if this apartment alone is nice and everything underneath is rotten, then, oh my God, what happens? The apartment shakes and the whole thing comes down. You know, that can happen. No? I think in India it has sometimes happened. So Prabhupada was always very practical. He said, whatever works, then do it. Govindanandan.
My question is, like, what to say to a person which is now going through a really hard time in her life? Then such a person seeks advice from you, and you don't know the person. Actually, she says she's spiritual or he's spiritual or something like this. But the reason, the actual reason why they turned for the advice was a great shock. I have something particular in mind. I just have one person who seeks help and advice. She just understood that her husband was like gambling.
Mm-hmm.
He gambled almost everything that they had, and he was not faithful to her, and many, many bad deeds like this. And for all her life, she was like a spiritual, wanted to do more, and he wasn't a spiritual person. And now, after I don't know how many years, quite some years, she recognizes that this person was a fake. He was not at all the person he was like.
So she is shocked and
she's shocked like because now she has to sell everything she has just to pay the debt. And the shock is because the person with whom she lived for so many years is now gone, and she's already in some quite some years. That's not maybe not so important, but it's such a shock.
So what to advise here, or
yeah, what advice can someone give in such a situation?
Wow. Krishna. When you give advice, you always need to see where the person is and how much the person can take. I think most people they need a practical solution, because you always have, the best is you take a person into the presence. Most of the time people are in the past, oh, this relationship didn't, we want so much, wanted it so, to work so much, and now it didn't work, and oh, they live in the future, how will I ever solve this, how will I ever sell this, and so you have to bring them into the presence. Here you are now, this is the reality. Now, what abilities and what do you have? What possibilities are before you? And then you, sometimes you need to send them also to people who can give a qualified advice, you know, in that situation, to sell things and to arrange things and so on.
And after this first, let us say, immediate response, which is like craving for the answer, then later maybe it is possible to give
some. Yeah, the spiritual things are usually when people have such shocks and they need to solve something. This is ordinary people, but sometimes devotees are in such situations, and for them it's something totally different. Devotees, you can actually advise that. You can say, now is the time when you can see there is no other shelter for you. Turn to Krishna. Krishna has arranged this. Krishna has come to take everything which is a diversion away from you. Now take shelter in Krishna. And when and devotees can do that because they have faith in Krishna. If that person which you are talking about has faith in Krishna, give them, or you can give them my new poem, Teacher Pain. It's on the Sharanagati webpage. Then they can understand that there is maybe a reason to the pain. I've written this for such people. Teacher Pain. Wow. Many. There is one actress in America who has written me. She has given it to all her friends. I didn't know. So, all right. I think we have come to the end. I thank you very, very, very much. And I hope my story was beneficial to you. And I think we should just end our little talk with 3 minutes, 3 German minutes of kirtan. No? Gaura Hari, please. We have this nice new melody. Why not a joyful melody? Yeah, look at that. We have about 15 melodies, and it's. Yes, yes, yes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. I wanted to say one more thing. I would be so happy if devotees who are free on Saturday and Sunday, if they would come to that seminar in Ljubljana. The seminar is, I've prepared the seminar already a year ago for this time in Ljubljana. I mean, I never did know when I would be able to go to Ljubljana. See, in Ljubljana we have these Panchatattva deities. Shri Gaunitai and Advaita, Gadadha, and Shivas Thakur. And I really am very grateful to
the devotees in Ljubljana that on a short notice they were willing to really invite all of Slovenia to attend that seminar. It will start on Saturday at 11 o'clock. That's I think possible if you have free time and the desire to attend, to come. And it ends with a Sunday feast in which starts at 3 o'clock. Yes. So I just wanted to say that this is a good opportunity to hear more and learn more about the fascinating pastimes and attractiveness of the Panchatattva. So, if you have time and if you wish to come, please do come. That's an invitation. Good, so. And once again, I want to really thank both Lemo and Trevoye to really have us as our guests, really enjoying to sit on the sofa underneath the same type of sofa where Radha Krishna sit. It really fits so nicely. Hare Krishna. By the way, Lemo, that's a very good vastu idea to have before a door a mirror, because then the space becomes expanded and unlimited. That's the before doors like this, the mirror is placed. You were inspired by the super soul to do that. Hare Krishna. Good. I hear that the kitchen is full of activity and music. That means we take some prasadam. Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. Do you have a fixed telephone here, a landline? Yeah. Maybe, Lemo, Banu Nandini could